Welcome to the 8th Manx 40 part of the 23-24 season. Today, in addition to the being joined by the three amigos of Dave.
Hi, everyone.
Tom.
Afternoon.
And Sam. All
right.
We're joined by Laxey manager Johnny Palmer.
Hello.
And skipper Tom Cowan.
Through with you, gents.
All right, lads, thanks for joining us today. Another historic episode of the podcast. We've got guests back, Dave.
We have. It's about time.
We've got you back, Dave.
Well, okay. No one wants that, but yeah.
Yeah, no, you weren't well last week. We already had the obituary written. Are you all right?
I heard that last. You completely wrote me off. Yeah, thanks. I will sign the thing, though, by the way.
No disco, no party.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're all right, yeah?
Yeah, not too bad.
It's good to have guests back, though, isn't it? It's like that excitement before the first game of the season.
Absolutely. We've got the buzz back.
Right, before we delve into all things, I was going to say minors, but it will probably the wrong wording, but Laxey, I'm delighted to say T-Boy Curfee has re-established a podcast edition, haven't you?
Yeah, unfortunately I know what favourite biscuits Tom likes, so I've brought the white chocolate
digestives. So what have you got for us today, Tom?
White chocolate digestives, they're my favourite as well, but $1.99 I thought was a bit steep.
It's cost of living crisis.
Yeah, right? And it was from Newspeak because Co-op had them all sold out, so they're clearly very popular.
But there's other options.
Oh yeah, I didn't bring these.
That was me. Oh, Dave.
Dave's back. Choice.
Okay, right. We're going to have to try these white ones then.
Yeah, they're unbelievable. Trudy.
What makes these the go-to biscuit in the Cameron household?
Don't get them in the Cameron household.
Oh, just get
the Curfee household.
See, we're looking out of the way.
What makes it the go-to biscuit in Glenmine?
I just think I like white chocolate. I like digestives. They work well.
Yeah, of course you can, Johnny.
Because I only get one in the Curfee household.
They're nice, then.
Unbelievable.
I like the chocolate ones. I like a normal digestive, and I like the caramel ones. But these, they sit nicely in that fold.
I know? Think it goes white, caramel, normal. I think white's the top. These are unbelievable, I think.
Tom, this is all on your suggestion.
I've had Curfee.
You go?
Yeah, same order.
Johnny, what do you think?
Not as good as caramel.
Yeah, they're not going to get them at the clubhouse anytime soon, are they?
No.
Dave, are you not?
I haven't had one yet. I'm on the lozenge, so I'll have one later. Don't worry. Sam's demolished his, though.
How does that sound?
Are you a fan?
I prefer the chocolate hobnob.
That's it.
But I haven't had these before, and they are quite nice.
You're not picking it, are you, Sam?
Nah, I think biscuits go, you know.
Any biscuits half time scram?
No, you don't have them at games, do you? We spoke about this, I swear. Confectionery, you were like not a fan of chocolate.
I'm not a fan of chocolate.
St George's used to. They used to put a plate of chocolate dressing.
You get it down the FA, down the bowl as well, don't you? For like cup finals and stuff. You go up into the boardroom.
Mm. Right, I always do this. I take a biscuit and then try and chat. Right, we've talked about biscuits. We talked briefly about half-time scram. Let's talk about some football. Lads, now it's... You had a busy transfer window would probably be the correct term. You brought a few guys in, most notably from a club in Ryan.
Yeah. Lots of small signings.
I don't know if you saw the picture of Camp on the wall, but Tom's somewhat defaced it several times.
Who said that was me? I swear you would have probably. It might have been you, Sam.
I got signed and everything for you.
Yeah, you printed off signed as well, yeah. Not a fan.
But as we talk about most, you've brought some players in. It sort of made you, a lot of people then tipped you for the title, Johnny. Is that the sort of bracket that the squad have relished, or has it been a bit of added pressure?
I don't think there's an added pressure. I just think the lads have took it on board. I mean, obviously, it's the lads that have come in have improved us. Whether that makes us favourites, second favourites, or what have you, I'm happy to be favourites and second favourites. Like I said to Sam a while ago, happy to have the target on our back, you know, because ultimately, you got to perform every weekend, and that's exactly what I want from them.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm not fussed whether we're favourites, whether we're second favourites or not.
And Tom, obviously, the extra players means more competition for places. Is that, you know, about trainings have probably gone up a notch?
Training's definitely gone up. Yeah. The fact everyone's not available every week, then the team effectively is picking itself at the minute, isn't it? Because SCR man, red card, injuries, lads away at uni. These are with a pretty good idea every week of who's going to be playing.
But the combi, Flexi've always had traditionally quite a strong combi. There's been a couple of seasons where they've been there, but they've been always challenged for the Junior Cup and stuff. That squad seems to be there at the moment, Johnny. You can dip into it and use that depth if you need it.
Yeah, definitely. And we've had to be fair, because alluding to what Tom's just said, everyone's saying, oh, what are you going to do when all these players are coming down and challenging for positions? I'm not going to do anything because, like Tom said, the team's picked itself every week. I'm making 4, 5 and 6 changes every single week. And you're not going to win anything making that number of, you need a consistency of some form, and we're not getting that at the minute.
And do you think that, probably, I'll bring you in here, Tom, because I know Moran have had similar problems. Is this a wider thing with Manx football? Perhaps the commitment isn't there for it as it once was. You know, I can remember heresy if you took your holidays in the football season, but now, obviously, people go away and watch the Premier League game, or go away and watch the horse racing, or whatever. There doesn't seem to be... You seem to be one of the dying breed that are there week in, week out for 45 minutes in the combine.
Which Moran, I'm very happy with. Yeah, I'd say they'd rather me go away than half the players. But yeah, I'd say the commitment probably, I'd say back in the day it was probably always there, now less so. But I'm surprised that Lexi have got players constantly going, so considering they signed 70, 80 players. But just on that though, Howard, like, as you touched on the players coming in, does it affect, like, you know, when you've got a full team and you've brought a few load of players in, the players that were originally first team up on knocking on the door and stuff, and say they get knocked down to combi or they get less game time, does it affect morale within the group? Is it hard to please everyone? Or
I don't think it has. Just yet. You know, I mean, obviously there are lads that were almost stealing a first team spot last year, who are now maybe dropped down a bit or have left. We have had a good number of lads leave as well as join, you know, so it's not exactly we've made six signings and they've all gone into the first team. We've made six signings, we've lost four and dropped two down, you know, so it's not maybe quite as cut and dried as everyone thinks it is.
And but you've been building towards this, Johnny, I'd say, over the last few seasons. It's not like suddenly you've signed all these players and you're there. Every season you've been sort of knocking on the door and getting closer to, we talk about the Grand Slam team of 06 or whatever, but you're getting there again, aren't you? So what are your aims for the campaign? At the start of the season, did you go, right, I want to win this? Win everything? Or
the lot.
The lot.
If it's there, be won. Why aren't you aiming for it? And if you're not aiming for it, I don't want you in my team.
Yeah,
and obviously you say six players you've brought in, and you're sixth in the league now. And last season at this stage you were fourth. So how has the integration gone for the new players? Do you think it's not as seamless as you might think it would be?
No, I think the new lads have been brilliant. To be fair, I think the difference this season is we've brought these players in, but we're playing players out of position. Mielan's been great for us. He's played centre mid, but he's traditionally always played in an attacking role, either on the right or the left or at the top of the midfield diamond, so he's changing his position. We've got Wasser, who's come in. He's played, I don't know, three or four times up front, and he's had three or four different strike partners.
I think our biggest problem has been we've got an unbelievable amount of attacking flair, and we've had Tom Creer for two games, Jordan Cooper for two games. They've both scored five goals, and we've played five games. And it's like, well, we kind of need them back. And Jordan's been injured or can't pay his subs or whatever you want to call it. And Tom Creer's flitted in and out of FC Isle of Man. So that's not helping. And if you're losing the number of goals that those pair would score for us if they were with us every single week, we wouldn't be in sixth now.
We're also seeing though that the top half of the table is a lot closer. It's a lot more of a level playing field this year,
and this is the best league it will be for, I don't know, 10, 15 years. Pre St George's era.
I think there's six teams
going for it 100%.
Do you think
I do?
So you think
in terms of competition,
but in terms of anything else, do you think FC Almond benefits the local game, or...
Well, you're asking the wrong fellow. I think it probably does. I don't have a problem with FC Isle of Man in its conception, the way it's run, the way it's thing. I think it just needs a little more, I don't know, sheriffing. How it's in the respect that I don't honestly see the point in using 50 players. I think they should have to do what I have to do, which is pool from 40. And maybe your first team plays in the league across, and whatever's left plays in the first division, you know? And then I know for a fact that if Tom Creer isn't in that FC Isle of Man squad at the start of the year, he plays for me. The lad himself, it's not fair on him getting 5 minutes here and 10 minutes there. He knows he's with me for the rest of the season. And maybe even give them an amnesty somewhere down the line, you know, at Christmas or whatever, and say the lads that aren't getting games, shove them out, bring new ones in. But I just think it needs a little more policing.
Mm. And do you think that's what's mainly affected you having different teams every week, the FCL man, or do you think it's other things like...
I don't, because I think they've been consistent in who they've picked.
Yeah.
It affected training, but again, it's the lads' choice. We had like 6 or 7 lads training with them in the summer when they had like the big squads. And that affected training, because when you lose 6 or 7 of your best players, the quality goes down.
What's
they've slowly come back in.
What's the conversation like between FC Alman and you as a manager, John? Because I remember when one of the first podcasts we did around the subject, they always said, "Oh, we'll be constantly talking to the managers to say, this we want Tom this week, you know, how has he been playing? Or is there anyone that's caught your eye?" You know, there was going to be a two-way conversation. Yeah, is that
to
still...
be fair, they have been consistent. Yeah, they've never rang me once.
Right. So there's not that, no.
No.
And that's not just you, it's across the... Have you spoken to
them?
No.
They've never asked me, is he playing fine?
Yes.
Because I'd lie.
Yeah.
You
know? And say he's playing well.
Yeah.
So when do you find out, like if Tom gets called up, when do you find it? So when the team's announced on a Thursday?
Same as everybody else.
Yeah. Mm. Fair enough. So how do you prepare?
You can't.
Yeah.
Mm. You've just got to sit
when you've got a good idea, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was squad announced.
A couple of weeks ago, was it a Friday afternoon? We found out. It's like, that's no good.
Mm-hmm. Just on that, I know from speaking to a couple of different ones around the league where they said that sort of has improved under Jones there, where typically it is on a Thursday as opposed to Bassey 5:30 on a Friday evening.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that as well, that it's been a bit more consistent in you've got more notice than... Because typically, everyone knows, Manx 40 Friday evening, you're scrambling around trying to find a combi.
Yeah.
It's like you're texting lads who are in the pub who you haven't seen for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's like, is there a bit more consistency with that?
I'd say definitely there is, yeah. But the conversations need to be had with me or somebody on the committee to certainly ask, you know. I mean, FC Isle of Man have got their own squad and their own agenda. They're never going to watch him play, you know. So if you're never going to watch him play, you're never going to find out how good he is. So ask me, ask somebody. Don't just go on pure reputation, but they don't ask, so they don't find out.
So do you fancy playing for FC Isle of Man then, Tom?
That's a good question. Would you say yes? Have you got called up?
Laxie.
speaking of which, though, you've obviously been a Laxie since you were younger.
Yeah.
And obviously all the way through. And not in reference to no one at all. You're now the captain of your boyhood football club. You'd never consider leaving, would you?
No.
No. I just wanted to clarify that.
No. Laxie had a chance.
Tom, Dave is never going to make you captain of
the club. I'm not going to.
He's captain of the Condi.
Camangle.
Oh, I know what he's known for. It's just...
No, talk about Macquarie, he'll never leave either. Not that anyone's taken. Only joking, mate.
Dave, so we've talking ridiculous questions. We've had a load from the listeners, stroke viewers this week, haven't we?
Yeah, should we start with the sublime or the ridiculous one?
Dave, you are our curator of all our social media, so you I'll leave it with you.
Right, okay, well, I'll start with a fairly sensible
question.
This is coming from Craig Cowan.
Oh, this is a great question from Craig.
Yeah, so he's asking you, John, what's your personal favourite moment in football as a player or a manager, or both?
It's funny, sir.
You just read one of the later questions, I take it.
It's fairly easy. It was winning the Hospital Cup last year.
Yeah.
By a long stretch.
And how have you found it going from obviously a player where you can affect things on the pitch to a manager where you're relying on them taking on board what you've told them, you know?
Yeah.
Largely pre-match. Is that frustrating? Sometimes I can see
it's not even pre-match.
Yeah.
It's half-time.
Yeah.
Because you've no idea what's going on before the game, how it's going to go. It's only at half-time that you can affect a game, really, by saying, look, this is what I've seen, and so on. So it is more difficult. It is more frustrating. And when people, when you lay a plan out and they don't, not everybody takes notice of it, it becomes infuriating, to be fair.
Have we noticed you were on the bench last week?
I was, but that's for my own personal use.
So you get a medal at the end of the season?
No.
What did you put yourself on?
Well, I put myself on the bench most weeks because I can then go around the other side of the pitch because the linesman a few couple of months ago, or last season, sorry, told me I had to get back in my technical area.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, I'm fine over here. And he went, no, he says, you've got to get back in the technical area. So I started, like, you know, doing the stretch. So my manager's just told me I need to warm up. And he went, pulled out the sheet, and he went, so I name myself on the bench.
That's
now
clever, that,
if I have to go around the other side of the pitch.
Yeah, you do. But you never bring yourself on.
Oh, Christ, no.
So Christ. I remember it was a,
I actually played a game. I played in goal last season.
Yeah, I was going to say, you played in goal, didn't you?
Against Royals.
Yeah.
Testament to our defence.
That was unbelievable.
Well, we'll ask you the same question, Tom. I'm pretty sure it's probably going to be a similar answer, but what's been your favourite moment as a player so far?
Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah, we all saw the celebration photo.
You used a good one, to be fair.
We had a few to use from.
We did.
The song out. I was like, we wouldn't mind that.
Next question, Dave.
Watch it, Farmer.
Mate, I can't have we all want it, don't we?
Okay, let's go. Move on quickly.
Okay, this one's in from Ryan Gartland.
No, he's on the bench.
Oh, Ryan, what was it, Garty last week?
Garvey.
He asks, how strong is your forehead, Johnny?
It's fine. It's absolutely fine. It's nearly as bad as his receding hairline.
Was there any reason why you might ask?
I have no idea. No, Ryan's his own man.
Right, Sean Doyle, obviously we talk about FCL man, he's answered this question for both of you. So, how many people has Adam Meelan two-footed in training? The man is never on his feet.
Yeah, now you say it, he does, he loves a lunge.
Is he like Paul Scholes?
But he's good. Yeah, both feet are off the ground, but it's controlled because he always seems to manoeuvre himself to be able to pick the ball up and then...
Tom's nodding in
a firm... No, I know, in the Tommy Lucas, he was an absolute nightmare because he'd fly into challenges, but then somehow win the ball, not a foul, and then he'd somehow like wiggling out.
It looks reckless, but it's controlled.
Yeah.
So it's behind the move to put him in the middle, get his foot on the ball.
Yeah, well...
See, Dave Rudin didn't consider that. Maybe
this is why Johnny's the managerial master's in mind.
Maybe. We don't mention Meelan when we say about Maran players, do we? Just give Camel an excuse. We don't just leave Meelan alone. What we could do with him?
It's because he's looking after your tax affairs.
Right, another question for you, Johnny. Lee Smith's asked, why did Andy Williamson leave Laxey last week?
Ooh, who's that from?
Lee Smith.
Andy needed certain assurances that Andy wasn't going to get.
Right.
And that's the same as any other player in my squad. You earn things rather than get given them.
Mm.
And if you can't handle that, I'll open the door, don't let it hit you in the ass.
That's fair enough, isn't it? Max Murley, who obviously you'll know well.
Full podcast guest.
Yes. He's got a couple of questions here. We'll go with the fairly serious one, the sensible one first. Which new signing has impressed the most so far for Laxey? And he also asked which signing has added the most value to a different team in the league that you've seen so far.
Oh, good question.
Yeah.
Do you want to go first?
No.
For Laxey, I don't know, the ball impressed me in certain games. But Cam's been there for all the games, bar one.
Yep.
So and he's been consistent and very good at the back, so.
Don't make Tom cry.
Tom's best, mate. Yeah. And the T.
Is it good to see a player come from such a small club and make that
small talk, Mr. Raven.
And a player from another team, tough on that. Probably say Chris Duggan at Ayr. He seems to bank a fair few goals.
Hat-trick on his debut, I think.
Exactly, yeah, on penalty, doesn't it?
Yeah.
St. John's.
They're doing well there as well, aren't they? They're flying high.
Yeah, they're strong.
6 from 6.
I'd go for Cam as well, because who did we beat 3-0? Well, it was his first clean sheet in 3 years, and he was amazed. So,
is that an actual stat? Yeah. That's worrying. If true. It probably could be as well.
I have no idea, but
I wouldn't be surprised.
We're old with it. Yeah.
Most of it his fault. We can see him then.
Max's other question, nice to you, John. Some people said it was handbags in the Laxey dugout versus Corinthians.
Yeah.
Others said that you and Ben Qualtrough have been watching too much Strictly Come Dancing. If there was a Royal Rumble for all the managers and coaches of the Island teams, who'd be the last man standing?
Great question.
Oh, I know who it is. Johnny Myers.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue.
Yeah. Can I put mine in?
Yeah, go for it, mate.
Yeah, okay, too far. I'll go Johnny Myers as well, but D3 wouldn't stand a chance, probably.
Give him a go.
Hey, Gilly'd have a good chance.
Would you back yourself, Palmer? Would you reckon you'd go
well? Well, yeah. I'd be all
right. Right, last serious question we've got. Duan Kinnish, he's asking...
Double Axie legend.
Yeah. So, Johnny, as you're the proud dad of four daughters, one of which plays in the senior Ireland setup, what are your thoughts on the junior girls and senior women's football on the island? In particular, the rules and regulations set by the FA. It'll be really good to hear your thoughts, as girls' football is often forgot.
I think there's too many shackles put on to younger girls, in the respect that girls' football, the transition from the young to the under-14s to then under-16s is really, really difficult, because the drop-offs, at boys' football, the drop-offs at 16,
mm-hmm.
at girls' football it's maybe 12 or 14, and therefore it's harder for a girl to get into it. Like my Ruby, she had to go and play for Laxey Boys. She was the only girl playing, but she held her own. Good enough, she was in the B team, but it's so difficult for girls now to progress to senior women's football.
Mm.
Hence why, you know, no disrespect to my daughter, but at 16, a boy wouldn't get in the senior Ireland team.
Yeah.
But she's waltzing into a seat simply because of the numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And I think it's more difficult than it should be for a girl to make it all the way through to senior level than it is boys. How you fix that, I don't know. It's purely down to numbers.
Yeah, well, we've talked... I think when we've done a podcast with Simon and Kim certainly Kim and maybe Jade, I can't remember which one it was, but they were saying that they bring the age group down to say so you can play seniors at 14, 15.
I wouldn't disagree with that.
But the big issue, as Simon pointed out, it's the welfare down there. So you'd have to change, they'd have to change in a separate changing room. Obviously, that couldn't be in with the referee or the opposing team. So suddenly you have to have another facility available.
But we've been through this with Laxey. A couple of seasons ago, we had about 10, 15-year-olds who were all of a decent standard who would have waltzed into our combi immediately.
Ethan Hawley.
Yeah.
And
then Ethan Hawley, Will. There was 10 of them.
Yeah.
And we didn't play five of them in one friendly, and we didn't play five of them in another. And we got told it's a welfare issue and so on and so forth. And it's like we're putting barriers up rather than bringing them down or telling you how, well, you've got to put this in place or that in place, but it's just no.
Yeah. But I suppose the problem is we're a county FA, aren't we? So we have to toe the line with what the English FA is saying.
But when you watch the television and you see a 15-year-old lad making his debut at Anfield for Arsenal, it's a bit galling that he can't play in our combi at first.
Fair point.
Because hockey has a similar thing, doesn't it, whether you can play younger than adults, but they all just seem to get down the side, change down the side of the pitch at the NSC. Yeah. So I don't really see how this is the problem with... Well, rugby is the thing where you get, you know, the size difference, and you get the issue there.
But if a 15-year-old is allowed to put his head within 5 inches of a male genitalia, what's the difference with football?
I think actually rugby's gone the other way. You used to be able to play at 16, now it's 17, and it's 18 if you're in the forwards, because of the various safeguarding issues.
Yeah.
But it's a difficult one, isn't it? With Simon would say, love to say, let's just do 15-year-olds.
It's an absolute landmine.
Yeah.
You're so minefield.
Yeah.
You know?
We had one more tweet here. We might have to censor this one so we can cut it out. But Cam Avery, much mentioned, he said, it's great to see the Laxey boys coming on the podcast. Not surprised that Kerf was too scared to have me on there, given his actions and social media posts over the last few weeks. But there
still
we are.
Still his head on us. Yeah. His head on us.
Yeah, exactly.
Free.
Calm down, Cam.
Yeah. The question... And I'm not going to read it verbatim.
No.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Which of the following is Kerf most agreed about? The fact that Tom Cowan is dating your sister.
Nicely put.
Dating?
Yeah.
That's dating? Yeah. You've progressed from...
Yeah,
you
that's what you
probably know. That's fairly, that's accurate.
Yeah. B, that Johnny Palmer is taunting you for that fact. Dating Tom's sister. And, or C, that Cam Avery left him around.
So it's definitely not the third one. I think we can get over that one quickly.
You are quite like a bitter ex. You keep going on about more.
Well, the reason is you spout... People say...
The Julian Ringham top's falling over.
If you go on about how much you missed Moran and you leave Moran, you're going to get abuse. And he put in his last message saying, give me as much abuse as you want. Maybe we have overstepped the line once or twice on Moran's social media, which we've quickly rectified by not putting an apology out at all. I'd probably say the second one, Johnny Palmer taunting me for it, which I don't want to say in front of him because I'm sure he'll get a lot of satisfaction from it. But it was down at the Moran game. And I stood there minding my own business, supporting Moran. We must be 7-0 down, watching Cameron Nealon run rings around us. And I get a little shout over from Palmer. And he was on our side, I noticed. A few of the Moran boys said get rid of him. I thought, it's all in good jest. But I don't know if it actually was. Probably wasn't. So
the comment actually made it onto our veal.
Which I'm sure you had a good chuckle at later on.
Yeah.
I think Cam mentioned that to me, to be fair. Yeah, that's probably that. I'd say B for that option, for that, them three options. The first one's not great either, and neither's the last. Actually, pretty bad situation.
Is that a lot, Dave?
That's a lot.
Yes. So thanks for everyone for sending the questions in.
Yeah. When we have guests in the future, we'll make sure you do get in touch. Right. Let's look ahead to Saturday's fixtures while we've got the esteemed company we have, starting with the Cadillac Premier League. And let's start with just chronological, but also as probably the game of the day. St Mary's Laxey, lads, trip to the ball for you guys. You know, even though it's going to absolutely bucket it down over the next few days, you guys are going to have a game.
It's
on. St Mary's obviously will be smarting a bit this week, Johnny, after last week's result. I must admit, I was listening back to last week's podcast. I think none of us, I mean, you were very pro Ramsey.
I think I sat on the fence.
Yeah.
I did say it depended on Charlie Higgins playing, and he did.
I think the rest of us may have edged towards St Mary's. I can't remember off the top of my head now, but that'll have hurt them, won't it? And they'll be coming out swinging, I would say, this weekend. Would you say, Johnny?
At least there won't be any what we would like to class as tactical waterlogging of pitches.
That was actually one of my questions, actually.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah, that's fine.
To be fair, going back to something we mentioned earlier on, I think everyone's going to come out swinging for us.
Do you think?
Yeah. And ultimately, if we end up beating teams, I want us to beat them because we were the better team, not because he was away or they were away or such and such like that. Every game we'll go into this year, because it is so tight, I fancy us to win it.
We were talking a couple of weeks ago about how it used to be if you lost a couple of games, it was game over. Now we're saying, I think you can afford to drop points, or is that...
I think you could probably lose 4 games this year.
How many have you lost so far?
1.
Just checking from around.
I don't think it is 4.
Ooh. I think it will be. How many do you reckon? More than that or less?
Less. Mm. Yeah, I don't err on this run where it's going to be... I'll be interested. I think the game of the day will be up north.
Yeah, Ramsey, to be fair,
I think that'll be a great game. And I've seen a few tweets. I saw a tweet from Chris Duggan saying he's looking forward to it, and Charlie Higgins has responded to it. So I believe he's FC Almagro.
Yeah, he's not playing.
That's a big loss.
5 goals, and then you go losing.
Team of the week this week with someone else.
Yeah,
Tom Cowan.
Did you know you were an
upgrade,
Tom?
Nice one.
What?
Johnny, I'll tell you what happened, right? Basically, I had to pick 6 players who had a decent game, and it was that much of an awful game. I just went for the 2 centre backs and 2 goalkeepers.
Wow. That's nice of Tom to hear, isn't it? He's seen me this week. First time this season.
Wow.
Take it.
Tom, having played there the other week, has said the ball is always tough to play on.
Yeah.
Do you guys buy into that? Or do you,
I think it's going to... I think we'll be more suited than Mary's.
Oh, yeah, I think so as well. You know, don't get me wrong now, we're not going to underestimate St Mary's at all. But I'm more bothered about us than anyone else. Mm-hmm. So we'll play our game. If they come, it'll be a great game, you know, if they turn up.
Mm-hmm. It's a question I always ask managers when I have them in. Do you prepare your teams to face a team, or do you prepare them just how you want your team to go out? So, for example, you've got some areas this week.
Yeah.
We know some of the players that maybe inflict the most damage. Do you say to Tom or whoever, you need to watch out for him, or we're going to play maybe five at the back? Or
within reason. Yeah. Within reason you do. But, again, I'd rather concentrate on what we have to do than what they have to do.
So you won't do anything different at training in the week, heading up for a different game. Say, for example, you've got a relatively easy game on a Saturday. I was going to say St. John's, but yeah, or something like that. Or you've got, like, you're going to away at Ramsey or something. Do you prepare differently during the week? Or
we don't tend to. We do different drills and so on and so forth, but that's just to relieve the boredom of, you know, same old.
Yeah.
As for Saturdays, there are times where we go 3-5-2 purely based on, I would rather pick my best squad than play five at the back, only have three defenders, play two out of position, and then say, right, you and you are on the bench. I'd rather play the better players in their positions, maybe play a couple out of theirs, but I'd rather put my best team on the pitch and see where we go with that, rather than say, right, I'm just going to play 3-5-2, 4-4-2, whatever it is, and we'll put you all in your places.
Yeah, that's fair. Dave, I'm going to put you on the chopping block first. Who are you thinking will get the points out of this one?
I think I've been impressed with St Mary's when I've seen them this season, but I think Laxey are going to be too strong. Mm-hmm. I think, especially, you know, the Saints' heads will be down after last week. I know they'll be looking for a response, but yeah, that probably will have knocked them quite a bit, because it was just the manner of the defeat as well. You know, 6-1 is galling.
It's not close, is it?
No,
I feel I'm going to sit on the Dave Norton Memorial fence, and not just because the guys here. I think this will be a score draw, because we don't do 0-0s and max football, do we? Sam,
a Brody and Tom playing.
Brody won't be. And which Tom?
Yeah.
Couldn't possibly say.
Maybe away or something.
He's still suspended.
How's he still suspended?
Because St George's chickened out.
We'll get to that.
Okay, in that case, I'm still going to go with that.
Tom?
I'll go, as we've got them in, and Cam sent such a nice message to me, I'll go 2-1 Mary's. I'll go with the Cam Avery mistake as well, I'll say that. Yeah. 2-1 Mary's. I think it'll be close, to be fair. And as you say, they lost last week, Mary's, but back at home, I think they'll be bang up for it.
Got Jack McVeigh back, don't they?
Yeah.
I saw Carl Clark was back a couple of weeks ago.
And you said, mentioned the fact that playing the bowl, you'll like playing there, but I think Mary's, that's their home ground. They must be used to playing there.
They've got that.
Exactly, I think they'll be playing, they play there every other week, they'll be used to playing there. I'll back Mary's, fingers crossed.
It'll be a good game.
I spoke to Carl Clark a couple of weeks ago, and he's back fully, but he's off on holiday. I'm not sure when, so he might be this week, he might miss, so yeah, it remains to be seen, but he's a good player.
Arbo's got a strict no train, no play policy, I believe, so be interested to hear if he's trained this week and he's in the squad.
There we go.
The lads have already talked about it. Massive game up at Andrews this week in the 2:30 kickoff. See Air United take on Ramsey. Ramsey with one of the results of the season so far last week. Sam 6-1, Charlie Higgins 5. We've talked about not being in the squad, but they'll be so buoyant after that. They'll probably relish even more so a derby against Air, won't they?
Yeah, they probably will. I think. Beyond that, you got Pickles had a good season so far as well there. But for me, I know we talk about home advantage. I think Air will just nick it. So they've got a good form, and I think Hurt will have to be in good shape for that. And for me, if it goes ahead, I think it'll be Air.
Tom, Air, we've got a few of the old experienced heads back.
Back on,
Danny Oram last week. Nick Hurt just seems to go on and on and on, doesn't he? They a clean sheet last week as well, which, again, as we all know, is quite a rare thing in Manx football.
Yeah.
The 6 out of 6, they go into it, you know, top of the table. As Sam says, they probably are just favourites for this one.
Yeah, well, they're stronger than the year that they won.
Yeah.
I think did they win everything bar the one that ruled out for COVID?
I think they got
beat by Russian in the hospital call.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So, right, okay. But they're stronger on, they've got exactly the same side, and they've added Chris Duggan to that, and
Danny's got back.
And you got your keeper
DT,
as well.
Another trio.
So yeah, they're gonna be strong. I think that'll be a cracking game. Ramsey again, no Charlie Higgins, but
Dylan Pickles, quality player. So if he's in a side, if he's in any of the sides, they're going to put up a fight. So, am I giving a prediction here?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll be having an 2-1.
Yeah, Johnny. You know, I suppose you'd be looking for a draw at this one, just so they'd both drop points.
Who are you scared of? Not scared, but who do you fear the most to be like up there at the end?
Well, Ramsey have already beaten us, so it'd be them. I think Ramsey are going to win it. I would say, I would put Ramsey down. I wouldn't say comfortably, but I think there might be a couple of goals in it.
Even without Higgins this week, you've got five last
year. David obviously said to Johnny that Laxey have built towards this where they're going this season. Ramsey have.
Absolutely, they have. They've been good for the last few seasons. I think if they had Charlie playing for them this week, I probably would tip them to edge this, but I'm going to sit on my fence. I'm going to say it's going to be a draw. Without predicting that Dave reads the weather. What's Ayr's pitch like is what I'm wondering. Is the game going to be on most
of it's going to suit them more than is
it? Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And Ayr know how to play at home. I do think home advantage is a big thing, so as I say. So I think I'll go Ayr 2-1.
I'm sitting with Dave. Me and Dave will huddle together on that fence for warmth. I think that'll be a draw. Yeah. There'll be goals galore.
Just been going for Ramsey.
Well,
see if you put that on the prediction.
Have you seen this? What they've got? Tell them what Lax you've got going on during the season.
Is it Super Six?
It's your baby.
Yeah, we do a competition where you've got the six games that happen on the island. You've got to predict the scores. Mm. If you get enough people in it, it's worth winning. Mm, like it is this year.
Mm. And how often do you get... I know you were saying you got a score right the other day. How often is a score right in Manx football?
Somebody will get something right.
It's not often. You wouldn't get more than one result.
I was going to say, it's mad to predict the actual score line. Like, we sit here and predict, and we get half of them wrong without something with a score. So it's like...
Half, you're being generous.
Yeah. But, like, it's a good...
It's worth it.
Yeah. Because I was saying we should do something like that, but if Laxey have got it, then we can just...
We've got 30 people.
Yeah, it's like a £1,200 pop.
£1,200 pop.
And who's top? Who's top?
Bradley and Joe Walters?
No, Charlie.
Charlie Robinson.
Okay. But there's like 1 point between first and second, and 1 point between second and third, and 1 point between fourth and fifth. Yeah, it is.
You've got a forfeit for anyone who finishes last.
No, that might not be.
Go alone for a season.
We're getting offside.
There's a massive game at the foot of the table this week where the bottom two meet at Croyte Lowy, which is just bizarre to say it in itself because we all respect Moran being slightly a bit further up the table.
Yeah,
but it's Russian Moran, Tom. You've told us this week Brewster's read out the riot act, hasn't he?
Yes.
It's now or never, really, isn't it?
Well, the training was just brutal. I think that's his go-to when we're not doing well, which is most weeks, unfortunately. But like, I think he was frustrated on Saturday because St John's, especially, was going 1-0 up. Again, I've already said to you boys this week, I don't think it was a penalty to make it 1-1, but that's not the reason why we lost. I just don't think we were good enough. It was a terrible game of football to watch. I think this is massive, and I think that's why we probably did so much fitness. We only got the balls out 20 minutes at the end, so that'll improve our football. But yeah, basically got beasted and basically said this week's important. It's interesting, Russian have got 3 points, so do we. Russian have got three draws, we've got one win. So like, I don't know how to call. I've not seen Russian at all this season. We've just got to be as good as we can be. I've seen some people are available, some people were missing. So I don't know. I'll back us, but our way at Russian as well.
It's tough, isn't it?
It's tough, yeah.
Johnny? You doubt it.
No, I think we'll win.
Yeah. You always pitch,
always back us. If we've got to, if my prediction's right, we'd be top, comfortably, wouldn't we? So,
Johnny, have you been surprised by Russian this season? And obviously not been on the pace.
Yeah, but it's hard that, like, six games, you know nothing, really. You know?
Mm.
Like, we've got Peel next week, and again... Oh, is it not next week? Week after?
We've got Peel next week.
We've got Ayr next week.
But again, which Peel side turns up, which Moran side turns up, which Russian side turns up. You just think that at some point, Russian have got to show up.
You know? I fear it could be this week.
So do we all.
This week it'll be a long old afternoon.
Yeah, that's the thing. They'll click at some point. They won't be down there at the bottom of the end of the season, will they? So
no, the fact that they've drawn three games, not lost... three games would lead me to believe they're not quite as bad as they make out to be. I'd go for a Russian win, but just
And they were the first team to take points off St Mary's this season as well.
Yeah.
So,
they were ahead in that match, weren't they?
Yeah, they were 3-1 up, actually. Yeah. Yeah, so it shows you on the day.
But when you look on the squads that they've got, I can't work out how they're down there, because most of that squad played us in the Hospital Cup final.
Mm-hmm. I was concerned when I saw no Mikey Williams in the FC Alaman squad, but you tell me he's injured, Sam.
Yeah, he's injured away at Burskov, so I can't see him being back in
it. For God's sake, I hope he's not.
Sam, is he rushing for this one, or do you think, can we give
Thompson? I saw them play at the start of the season, and I thought they were soundly beaten.
Yeah.
They've always got Aaron Hawley, who will score, but I just think I probably know what Tom wants, so I'll say they'll get a draw out of it.
I'd buy your hand off for a point, probably, which is worrying.
Tom?
I don't give Moran any hope. that's just on it, like, a way to rush, and if they've had the sides out they've had so far, yeah, I think 4-1.
Well, you, Paul? I only went 2-1.
No, right, that's a bit more generous.
2-1. Dave?
Yeah, as much as I'd like to support Tom here.
You wouldn't at all.
Yeah, and I think, again, you've mentioned this several times, home advantage in this sort of game, quite Larry. I think Russian will have the edge. I don't know, it's like you say, how's the morale in the team after losing, like, in such a tight, controversial manner last week?
I don't know, annoyingly, we're kind of used to it. Like, yeah. You don't go to training every week and we've lost a game. I know this week more than most, probably because we were in the game and St John's, I didn't think of that good. So we could have got something, and it was frustrating with the penalty and stuff, but I don't know, I think training feels more or less the exact, apart from doing more running and getting told off, it's more or less the same thing, because most weeks, even last year, we were down there last year and we had superstar Cam Avery and Adam Nealon, so it's the exact same, it's playing from around, you never get used to it, we're not going to attract the players.
You say home advantage, am I going to contradict myself when I say when I played, it didn't matter to me where I played.
No.
I wasn't interested.
We ask this regularly on the podcast. Tom is the only one that said it is a thing.
I believe it is.
But yet, our home record is so much better than our away record.
Really?
Look at Ramsey. Yeah. Ramsey all last season
and
this season, their home record is astounding.
Yeah.
And then they go away and you kind of expect them to drop a point.
I've always thought, like, good teams get results at any ground.
Yeah, Barton did some research on this from last season.
Professor Barton.
Yeah, so he like looked into it. I'm going to try to find it.
To be fair, a Fox player looking into home advantage.
No, but he looked into like...
He's just going to buy some snorkels and some flippers.
He looked into like how like teams got on points compared to like home and away last season, and I can't find it right when I need it now. So, oh, here it is. So home, is that Div 2? We don't care about that. Oh, we do, but yeah. So Laxey last season got 10 more points at home than they did last season. Yeah. So that does that not show that you guys are better at home?
Yeah.
Clearly, exactly. But then away, there's only 3 teams that did better away. So I think it is a thing, clearly, by the points. Moran got 7 more points at home. We like to make our pitch nice and tight. There's a 17 points at home Ramsey got more at home last season.
There you go.
So like the research shows, I think, like as we always say, Ramsey.
But I've never thought that.
No.
When you play him,
it never interested me at all.
And there's other players, like, you know, you go to certain grounds and you lift your game, don't you?
Yeah.
Russian, for example, you want to silence the wailing wall, don't you?
Yeah.
You want to shut them up. So you almost relish that going into a slightly hostile environment.
As I was saying this week, I wouldn't mind a combi being off, hopefully, our pitches. Just because we have a big number down, I do think it helps when you're struggling down there at the bottom of the table. A big following of us going down to Russian, I think it would spur the players on. So, not that I want the combi game off, and not that I want to pitch waterfalls, but Friday night I might have to go down there and do some laps of it in my car, do some spins.
Right, well, let's move on from that. Let's look at, where should we go next? St John's Union Mills, Dave. Now, I think St John's won last week, but I still think Mills will be still favourite for this.
Yeah, I think, Mills lost to Ayr, but, you know, most teams will this season. I think... I've been impressed when I've seen Mills this season. I watched them beat Geordies and they got a 2-2 draw with St Mary's. So they've got a good squad there. St John's, they'll be confident, but I think Mills will have too much.
Tom?
I'm going to go with a draw. I think St John's will be buzzing after last week. I think they scraped by. So I think St John's, I think it'll be 2-2. It's going to be a close game, but I'll go odds even.
Johnny?
I'm going to go with St John's. Again, tight. Probably 2-1 again.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember what I put in there, but That seems fair.
Tom, obviously, a bit like yourself, St John's have struggled with some early season injuries.
Yeah.
They seem to be getting a few back against you guys. They feel the combi quite comfortable last year.
Yeah, they did. They had a couple of weeks before that they struggled. So yeah. As soon as they saw them around the fixture list, they
thought. Yeah, they that.
Yeah, they did, to be fair. That's
awesome. Do they have any uni players?
Uni players? I don't know if they do.
Half term this week.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's a show.
Yeah, I don't know.
So they could be back.
I don't know if they do. I know Joe Savage is at unis.
Dean Lees is in the FCL Man squad, I think, this week, isn't he? So
yeah.
He won't be involved.
So, Tom, what do you think, St John?
Mills by one.
Mills by one. Sam?
I'm going to go Mills 7-2.
I'm with you here. I think this could be a 5-3.
Is
Six back yet, or is Veg still getting goals?
It was Ingham on Saturday.
Oh, Saturday.
He's got Skinhead now. I was surprised to see. I thought it was Six.
Why would you stick your best centre back in goal?
Who is he?
Yeah, he did well as well.
I think Six is back this week.
So that could make a big difference, couldn't
it? Mills, you just never know what they're going to do when they turn up. They turned up against yourselves.
Yeah.
They easily could have won that game against you. Yeah. And there's only Guardian a couple of bits once. But then. Again, they can easily turn up and get absolutely walloped. They don't really make much sense, but I'm going to say they're going to absolutely demolish St John's.
You just described every team in
like sort of.
No, Mills are a lot worse than others.
Mills just want to. It's like watching a basketball match with Mills, isn't it?
Yeah.
They just want to outscore you. Right, Corinthians, Braddon. Braddon, great result for them last week.
Absolutely. 6-2 against Geordies, which. Is on their 100th anniversary, wasn't it? And it mirrored their first ever competitive game.
Was it against the Georges?
That was St Olives, I think, right. St Olives, but still, it was a cracking result. I think Nick Hatton got a hat trick. Denny Cumray played well, so full of confidence. But Corinthians, I mean, you guys played Corinthians last week. Yeah. What do you make of them this season?
I don't think Braddon will break Corinthians down too often.
Yeah.
Corinthians are well drilled, whereas Braddon have got a lot of kids. Yeah. And if they've got a lot of kids, that usually brings inconsistency. So I'd err with Corinthians and probably comfortable.
Mm. I'd agree with that.
Yeah, I'd say. I don't know, Corinthians have been a bit hot and cold as well. There's some certain teams I thought they were going to steam through. And
I
just
think it'd be a draw.
Yeah,
I don't know, if they haven't got Simpson, they've got Ogden at the back. I think they've got a solid back four. If they've got Mark O'Neill, they've got Joe Borders in that midfield.
So you're putting a draw in our competition then?
I think we're 6-1 Corinthians. No, I do. I don't know. Ogden's up for it. I work with Matty Ogden. Yeah. So
are we changing a score here?
Not allowed to in the group chat. That's why I've done it now.
Sam?
I think there's a bit of after the Lord's Mayor show about it and Corinthians are going to turn them over.
Spell Fletcher's a difficult place to go, especially if there's any wind. Oh,
is it
any wind as well?
Yeah.
So okay. I'm going to say Corinthians 3-4-1. I don't think it'll be steaming, but I think, Braddon is just enthusiastic. Still,
I thought it was Braddon at home.
Yeah.
Braddon at home, I could see it. Mm. Bale Fletcher's a different. Mm. Depends if Simo's back as well.
Yeah, he's a big difference, man. Isn't it?
He's been in Vegas or something this week, hasn't
LA,
he?
LA, I think, yeah.
There's LA, so yeah, so whether he's back or not, who knows. But, yeah, he's had a great start to the season.
Yes, fantastic. Last game in the Premier League this weekend sees Peel take on Douglas Royal at Douglas Road. Peel, Tom, you'll be delighted in this. The wheels off, are on.
I like to warn a few of the Peel boys. Yeah, the wheels off.
The wheels are off.
Yeah, but the Royals, they'll tailor back its former club. I think Peel will be fine.
Peel will
steam through that. I think they're strong. I think people aren't really talking about Peel being up there this season. I think they still could be. I know they've lost a couple games.
Yeah.
But I still think they'll be all right. I think they'll be in the round anyway. They've got a good team.
Yeah, I agree.
Strong. Dave, for Royal, Don McCary, Brennan and Simon, the score sheet again last week. He scored a few goals. We did well last season.
He's a good player, Don.
I think he was in and around the FC Alman squad at some one point, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was definitely about it.
Yeah, so
we'll have to give a mention to Max Shirley, who you guys will obviously know. I spoke to Screech in pre-season. He said he's a really good player, and he seems to be doing all right for Royal so far.
And so that would be, they can score goals, couldn't they, which is always a
help. Asbridge as well.
Asbridge, yes, the top goal scorer he is. Mm. I think Peel at home will be too strong for Royal, but I think Royal will get a goal, maybe or two out of this one.
Yeah. Do you think Royal will be down there towards the end?
What are they on at the moment?
I think Royals will probably sit where they usually do.
Yeah, just above.
Fourth bottom, fifth bottom, sixth bottom. There's not a lot between... I don't think there'll be a lot at the top, and then there'll be a gap, and then there'll be a few teams in and around the same, and then there'll be a couple of teams, you know, flirting at the bottom as well.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say at the end, then this around. I was expecting.
The cap fits, Tom.
No, but I think, annoying things to say, Peel, I think, will...
get the win.
Steam, right, yeah.
Tom?
Yeah.
Sam?
Are you sure you'll go for a draw?
Well, ever since I wrote Royals off, I don't think they've actually... Did they lose last weekend?
Drew. No, they drew.
So I don't think they've lost since I said there was certainty for relegation.
They beat St John's as well the week before.
So I think I'm going to say Royals are going to get something like this. Considering I'm their main cheerleader these days and providing inspiration for them.
I'll go for Peel. Comfortably.
Yeah. Peel. Yeah. DPS Division 2, the best league in Europe. Six games all kicking off at 2:30. We go, of course, to 2 o'clock kickoffs in the next couple of weeks. Big game down the south. One of your former clubs, Johnny, Colby Castletown. Massive day in the south, this, isn't it? Colby had been doing bobbling along quite nicely at the top of the league, but lost their first game of the season last week to Onken. Castletown were looking to take advantage of that, weren't they? Try and make the rot set in a little bit further.
Does Division 2 not mirror Division 1 in the respect that anyone's going to take points off anyone?
I think to a certain point, although we have to talk about the Neely men a bit later of Division 2 Foxdale, who are currently still unbeaten.
Exactly, and never mind Neely men, they might actually do it.
Yeah.
They only just scraped by Poy though last week, didn't they?
Yeah, but Chatwood was back scoring. But I think you're right, Johnny, there's probably, I would say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It depends how old boys, if they start picking up points, but I'd say 5 or 6 teams in that promotion mix, which is great, isn't it? Because usually there is one team that sets off. We've been with teams that have won 23 out of 24, or even all of the games, St John's, Corinthians, some of those teams, old boys, when they went, they've gone straight back with relative ease. But I think this year, as you say, it's going to go down to the wire. I think these two are going to be in and around that mix. Colby have probably come up on the rails a little bit. I think they shocked even our esteemed Colby correspondent. I think they're going to do as well as they have done.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this is going to be a great game on Saturday. But I think, again, I'm probably going to go for a draw. I just think Colby will be eager to bounce back. And I think Castan have grabbed a couple of signs this week, haven't they, Dave? Which could be interesting to see.
We have to give a mention to a prolific scorer, Baby Driver Glover.
Yeah.
And they got Ash Egan, who's also signed for Maloon.
Yeah.
So, a couple of good players there. It's going to be interesting to see how they settle in, but I'm going to join you. I'm going to think this is going to be a draw.
Johnny, town all the way? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The building's sort of got nice down there. The social media's always really active. They've got good kids section again. Yeah.
You know?
It's the best pitch in the Isle of Man.
Yeah.
I think Castan.
100%. Yeah. It's a carpet.
I was actually going to ask what your favourite venue is to play away. Is that what you say?
Well, no, pitch, yeah.
Yeah.
Pitch, definitely.
Yeah. Best pitch. It was always like lashing down on a Saturday morning. You'd always start to think, one game on the island, you think, I'm getting wet today. and that was always the case. It's always been a good pitch. It's always been a good club, and it's much like Laxey. It develops the youth, it brings people through, and so on and so forth, and do it the right way.
And they seem to be quite proactive off the pitch as well. They're doing stuff around the clubhouse.
Jed Howard, of course, we've got mentioned.
The tower, the man in the tower. And Nigel McFarlane is the secretary, isn't it, David?
Yeah.
And the legend that is Paddy Quinney. And he'll be probably getting his turn out for the Combi at some point. Seasonal run out. But yeah, they're a great club, and probably one that should be in the Premier League, shouldn't they?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, they've got all
what
the...
What determines a club being in the Premier League?
I think the stature of the club. You know, it's a traditional powerhouse of Manx football, and I think again, I thought last year they had a real good chance to go up, and they just didn't seem to... They did a Foxdale.
I like how it's called that now.
Foxdale, they're a bit Spursy.
Exactly.
I prefer did a Foxdale. Tom, are you calling the winner in this one? I'm sure you're an avid fan of DPS Division 2.
I'd probably go Castletown.
Yeah.
They were almost there a couple of years ago, 2021. Sweet.
Down to him.
Yeah.
If he hadn't been so bad all season.
He's up there.
Yeah.
Sam?
Do I back Adam or do I back Sam? I'm going to go for Adam and say Colby going to bounce back.
Bounce you back. Michael and Onken, probably those two of those teams we've mentioned in that promotion bracket. Onken, great win last week, Dave, against Colby, the aforementioned victory that ended their unbeaten start to the season, 100% start to the season. They've obviously come back down to Division 2 after a season in the Premier League.
Well, they've had a solid start to the season under James O'Kelly. I think, you know, they've got, you know, a decent squad. This, yeah, Michael, though, you've got Liam Kane banging in goals for fun.
What was the stat this week, Tom, we saw? He scored 54 goals
in a year or half?
54 goals in 22 games, something like that.
Something ridiculous, yeah. He used to be a laxie, didn't he, Liam Kane?
Yeah.
No doubt you'll be poaching him at the end of the season, along with your 70 other players or so.
I tried in the summer.
But no, he's just banging them in for fun, isn't he?
Yeah. I think you got him in the team, you got home advantage possibly. It's going to be close. I'm going to say Michael are going to just about edge it.
Any hope for Onken, Sam?
No, I think given the weather forecast this weekend, Michael was always my least favourite place to play, especially if the weather was bad, because you're pretty certain it's going to be on. Because just sort of the wind up there as well. So if it's on, I'm going to say Michael will do that, and then Kane's.
I'm going to get Onken. I think Onken are quite good. Yeah, they're strong. They'll be all right.
Lads, Johnny?
I wouldn't be surprised if it went anyway.
Yeah.
You know, this falls into the same category as the first game. Michael, judging by form at the minute, probably edge it as favourite, so probably go for Michael.
Come.
Yeah, I'll be back in Liam Kane's Michael United.
Yeah.
Liam. Andy Williamson's gone back there as well. So
has he gone? Michael? Yeah.
So that'll be a good sign for them.
It's a good sign for them. Yeah.
Elsewhere, we already talked about them, Tom Kirby, Foxdale to Luton District. Now.
Yeah.
We had a message, well, before we get into the football, we had a message from Dave Matheson this morning, didn't we, Dave?
The legend that is, about top trumps, yeah.
So have you seen this, lads? This is, I think, because you have got quite a few players you could do it with. There's a D&D top trumps now.
Right.
You know top trumps, the game.
Yeah.
So they've commissioned it. You can get a pack of cards with them.
Really?
Yeah. And Dave says that they've sold out, so he'll lend us his, so we can have a game.
I think we should just get D&D in on podcast. We'll just do top trumps.
But anyway, the big fact about this, it's funny we talked about Spursy, Johnny, because they were on a train. Dave was away at the weekend, and he was playing D&D top trumps. This is how, you're Mr. Moran. Yeah. This is Mr. D&D.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just on the train opposite them was Brendan Johnson's place for Spurs. Yeah. Was it ex-girlfriend?
It was ex-girlfriend, I think.
Yeah. And so, and she started playing D&D top trumps.
Yeah, as you do.
That's an even weirder thing that she brought up. I thought it was just his
girlfriend. I thought it was his girlfriend.
That's a bit odd.
Pretty sure it's ex, from what Dave said anyway.
Well, I don't know how Dave fact-checked that.
Yeah, well, how does he know?
Yeah, but anyway.
Trying to get in,
it? Yeah, ex-girlfriend.
It was ex-girlfriend, right, okay, missed that. Right, so the amazing at top trumps, but not so good at football this season, Dave. They are currently bottom of JCK Division 2. Dave's put it in as JCK Division 2.
Oh, he's put JCK in the paper.
That's on the template,
James Cullen's slipping in.
DPS Division 2 with 1 point from their first five games of the season, minus 15 goal difference. It's just not happened for them this year, has it?
Not yet, but they'll find a way. I think Foxdale, though.
Yeah, Foxdale are looking good, aren't they?
Yeah, Barton said to me on multiple occasions now that they're going up.
Have they committed that?
Yeah, let's put a heap of load of pressure on them. So when they inevitably fail, it'll be brilliant for everyone. But no, Foxdale, Chatwood beating back is the big thing, isn't it? Like, apparently last week, beating Pulley, they were 3-1 up. They went 3-2 down, and they won 4-3 quite late on. So, 3-2 down. Paul Rose, we said when we were in here last week, they'll steamroll Pulley.
I said it was going to be tight.
Well, I did. Yeah. Anyway, and so, Foxdale, they found a way, and I think that's what they've got to keep on doing against these type of teams. You know, when you're at the top, and you've got to find a way. But, you know, it doesn't have to be nice every week. But is it at Foxdale?
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, there's no point even talking about it. It's off.
Johnny, if the game does go ahead, Foxdale win?
Judging by the fact that Jay Chatwood's gone back, he knows where the back of the net is. He was in the Ireland squad.
Yeah.
You know, and you're playing, with all due respect, Douglas and District. You've got a fancy Foxdale in that one.
Tom?
Foxdale.
Sam?
Dale, yeah.
Right.
What's it like, Tom, trying to mark Jay Chatwood? Players like that.
I played Corinthians once, I think, last season. He wasn't playing it.
No, right.
So I think I've only ever marked him in the Miners Cup in the pre-season.
Yeah.
He's a handful, that's for sure. Yeah. Don't win as many headers.
He's probably be a Lexi next season.
Tom played once, but was selected twice.
Right, elsewhere on Saturday in DPS Division 2, I have to keep saying DPS now because I've said JCK more than once.
Yeah.
We see a old boys, right, they go to Jim's in a game that probably... No, the Jim's pitch has improved. I was going to say a game that probably won't be on, but Jim's is not as bad as it traditionally was. Mm. Old boys last week, Dave, they...
Beat UT 3-1, I think, was it?
Yep, which is a good result for them.
First win in the season, is it?
Yes, I think
possibly the second win of the season. Yeah, I think so. They're finding their feet now after a very slow start to the season.
Very slow start. I think they'll make this another win on Saturday because Jim's haven't quite hit their straps either, have they?
Agreed. And they've got Danny Gillen. He got braced last week. He's a good player. So I reckon, yeah, they'll be too strong.
Johnny?
Old boys comfortably.
Yeah. John?
Yep, back that.
Yeah, it's got to play in the tune. Old boys.
Yeah, it'd be comfortable, I think.
Not much for Jim's fans to get excited about.
You know they're going to win 1-0 now.
Yeah. Uki take on Paul Rose in the Frozen North at School Rigori. This one, right, Uki's have been very hot and cold this season so far. Having spoken to their sometime goalkeeper, he says, yeah, they were a bit unlucky last week. Maybe always probably deserved to win, but 3-1 perhaps was a little bit flattering. Pulley, great. Obviously, pushed the Foxdale all the way last week.
Yeah,
I think they'll be maybe smelling a bit of blood in the water here and going for at least a point.
I think there'll be goals in this, and I'd back Pulley if they're pushing Foxdale that far, and Foxdale have not got a bad side at all.
Yeah,
then they'll easily get something out of Rycob. But it is away, and no one likes to make the trip up, do they?
No.
I'm going to go with the draw in this one, I think. Sit my foot.
A lot of goals then?
Yes, definitely. Max, well, 5-1.
Yeah.
I like it.
Johnny?
I'll probably just pick Rycop to win that one.
Home
advantage.
Yeah.
So in your tournament, you don't do Div 2, I assume. Is it just the top flight?
Just top flight. Yeah,
you should throw a Div 2 game in
every now and then. Just see how.
Yeah.
Because it's an absolute, like, you don't know what you're going to get.
Double points.
Yeah. Double points, you get a Div 2 game. Like, or do a combi 2 game and see how that.
11 all.
Yeah. Tom?
Yeah, Rycop comfortably.
And Samuel?
Probably, yeah. But you never know, Pulley.
Pulley, I think Pulley are building. Mm. Their performances and results are starting to come. I think they played well against Castletown a couple of weeks ago. They played well against Foxdale.
Are they still getting a new clubhouse?
I presume so, because the other one got condemned, didn't it? And they've only got the one team out this year.
Yeah.
So I think... draw. I think we'll get something out of this one though. Right, last game in DPS Division 2 this week ends. Sees Malou travel to Colby to play Governors Athletics, Samuel's old team. Numbers were a bit down last night at training, but it was Storm Babak.
That's still celebrating from the 6-point Saturday, which I think is the first in about 18 years. Yeah. History of the club, that. Yeah. We've never done it before.
It's only 2014. So it's a magic year.
Yeah. So yeah, they're Governors are going to win this. It's going to be great.
Do you think it'll be Malou?
Why not? You know, anything can happen now. 6 points Saturday, Govs.
Yeah,
sponsored by
like
Marlborough.
Yeah.
Magical things are going to happen.
Malou, Johnny, look like they're going to probably. Where were they sitting in the league at the moment? They're second bottom, but I feel that's a bit of a false position. Mm-hmm. I feel like they've pushed teams harder than that.
Yeah, they've got enough players to be a lot further up than that. But I'm not going to steal his thunder.
Yeah. Back up
comfortably to win.
Tom?
I have no idea. I do. Well,
appreciate the honesty.
I'll back Malou.
Dave?
Yeah, Malou.
I think the sensible money would be Malou.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Sam. You know, like, he's happy. He's enjoying it. He's not that he watches. He's just sitting on Ravens games.
I feel this is a scenario that might unfold, Sam. Correct me where I'm wrong. Govs will go about 4-5-2 up. And then tire about the 70, 80 minute mark, and then perhaps slip to a 5-all draw.
That does sound familiar. I think I played in that game 8 or 9 times. To be fair, the difference is these days they don't have both me and Chamber at the back, so that was where we got sort of done for pace after about 35 seconds. So I reckon they'll be all right. Yeah, but Govs are going to win this. Come on, calm down with us.
Right, you heard it first, a Govs win in that one. Right, before we push off this week, we're going to insert Combi Corner now.
For the second week in a row, Canada Life Combination 1 leaders St Mary's were held to a draw last Saturday as Ramsey restricted them to a 1-1 draw. There was certainly no shortage of goals in the north of the island where Ayr United and Union Mills played out a 6-6 draw, very much a Manx Footy scoreline. Elsewhere, reigning champions Rushen were in rampant form as they thrashed Douglas Royal 9-0 at Croydon Lowy, while Laxey recorded their third win of the season with a 5-3 success over Corinthians. In DBS Limited Combination 2, Douglas High School Old Boys made it 6 wins from 7 games as they proved too strong for Youthy, winning 7-1 up north. They remained 3 points clear as second place Michael, who they were awarded the points from their postponed game with Malou. There was a high scoring game in the south. Onken edged past Colby 6-5 at the Station Fields. And elsewhere, Douglas Athletic and Castletown played out a 2-2 draw, while Governors were 3-1 winners over Douglas and District.
FCL man Sam, give us let me hit us with your latest information. Lost 2-1 West Dids last week.
Yeah, lost 2-1 there.
In the, what are we calling that, derby? What do we call that?
Well, it's sort of like a not a derby. Sort of, like, basically, we went up together, didn't we? And now we're just sort of bound together in this endless tryst of Northwest County's Premier League football.
And anger.
No, I think it's just, it's sort of like a little bromance thing going on there. There's sort of like, you know, we like them, they like us. It's, yeah. We both just hate Bursco, it's fantastic. So that means nothing to like 95% of people. So yeah, this weekend they're back at home for the first time all month. I think they've played one home game in the past 9 weeks. So they've got Glossop North End.
Yeah, wonderfully named.
Yeah, weirdly they play in the south of Preston.
Yeah,
I don't know where the hell they come from. Yeah. But yeah, this week so you got Mike Williams out. Dean Pinnington's back in though.
Good.
After he's been out injured. Dean Leese's in, Doyle's in, Fiero's in. Frank Jones in. There's no Jack McVeigh, which is interesting. Jamie Cole and Al Maitland still seem bound that only one of them can play at once for some reason.
Yeah.
So it looks like Jones is going for an attacking team, and they did beat these guys 4-0 early start of the season. But Glossop have beaten Bury 2-1 twice in the past few weeks, so they have the ability to get a result.
I think I saw today this game is in aid of Cruise Bereavement. I think Mary sent some email through.
Yes, yeah. That is, of course, with Sean's mum is the CEO there, and they do really good work locally. I think they're being, it's sponsored by somebody on behalf of Cruise, which I really know who's being sponsored by, but I can't remember. And yeah, it's all going to Cruise, so I think they've got something on as well that we can make and donate to that, so you can. Please do.
6 p.m. kickoff.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we should also point out big managerial news in the North West Counties Football League this week.
Yes. Pascal Chimbonda.
Pascal Chimbonda, former Tottenham Wigan fullback, has signed for bottom of the table Skelmersdale United as manager. Yep. And they lost last night, didn't they?
Yes, however, this is a team that has beaten FC Arlanda so far this season. So we're looking forward to his visit, I think, is in
February.
February.
Yeah. I already checked that out.
You'll be going the ball.
Over there with me Premier League sticker album. See if he'll sign it off.
He might sign your footy manager for you.
We should also talk about Kieran McNulty, Dave.
Yeah, what an achievement.
400 goals in the Premier League since
2001 now.
401, since has that been ratified by Dennis McWhirter and the Guinness World Record people?
That's the one, yes.
Since 2007?
Yeah, what a return that is. I mean, it's a phenomenal achievement.
And we don't really talk about the difficult season of Michael.
No.
But we need to get him in and clarify some of that.
Hey.
Yeah. Do we know who's second? Behind 401.
Steve Priestnell. But obviously, he was not playing at the moment, but he also dropped down to Division 2 for a while. They were neck and neck for a long time. Yeah. I think they reached 300 fairly close together, I think, didn't they? But yeah, what an achievement. The actual 400th goal, which is the first one against Braddon last week, there is a video of it online, and he chips the goalkeeper from the edge of the box. Yeah. So it was a very good finish. So yeah, well done, Becker.
A great player as well. I would say him and Steedo's movement off the ball is some of the best I've seen. He's and deceptively strong for one that weighs only about 3 stone. Just wiry.
Yeah, but the skill that boy has is phenomenal. Yeah.
And he had a few run-outs for FC Alaman, didn't he, during the end of the Bass tenure?
Well, yeah, I think
when he was trying to get the band back together.
When Doyler obviously had his injury right at the start of last season, he came in, and it was, you know, like when Crouchy first went to Liverpool, and it was just like everything besides scoring. There was ones where it's like he hit guys on the ass of it, on the face of it. There was one which was one of the greatest saves I've ever seen from a defender that wasn't given his handball.
Yeah.
Everything Pekka did, he just couldn't seem to score.
Yeah.
It was actually astounding. Yeah. And then obviously when Bassey left, obviously a few of the boys left, and he went back to, I mean, to be fair, last year he was sort of one of them lads who come back and save Geordie from getting relegated last year. This year,
yeah, could be his biggest challenge yet, couldn't it?
Well, I don't think they've got the firepower to do it this year. I think they could get drawn into this.
And we promised we'd speak about it. I know I saw on social media a few of the Laxey boys were a bit annoyed at the St George's game being called off. I just want to ask, do you feel the FA need to look into some of the things, not just the waterlogged pitch, but they're not fielding a side and only getting a, like, just a loss, not getting any goal difference, not getting a point deducted? Do you think there should be any punishment for not fielding a side? More punishment than there is?
I think there possibly should be more punishment than there is. I don't like the whole idea of, and don't get me wrong, every team has done it at some point, right? Our problem is our pitch is too good to do it, right? Peel's will be too good to do it. Corinthians will be too good to do it, I dare say. But there are teams out there that you just know on a Wednesday, if it even threatens to rain, they're going to call it off for you. And I think that tactical waterlogging of pitches needs to be looked at. And I would certainly, and I appreciate the fact that teams or clubs rather are spending, we spent, I think, about $8,000 on our pitch in pre-season. So I do appreciate that they spend a lot of money, so it's their pitch.
Yeah.
But I'd much rather the old system where the referee goes down and says, get your kit on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't that cheap when Peter used to patrol with his dog to keep
his
off?
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting point, though. It used to be, I think, if I'm remembering correctly, that they do a half 11 inspection, wouldn't they? And it wouldn't necessarily even be the ref that was doing that game with it, would just be whoever's local to the pitch.
Yeah.
But maybe that's something for rules revision in March. Yeah. You're going to send it up
the
line.
It's galling when you know for a fact that your game's going to be off on a Wednesday because you've heard tales.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's interesting that so many other games were on during that specific week.
And Foxdale's game was on.
Yeah, that's a good sign, right? The pitch was
if
on.
If Foxdale's game's on, so was yours.
That is the barometer of
that is literally, isn't it?
No? Yeah. So that's galling to say the least. Mm.
But not just about the waterlogged. I brought it up in a couple of podcasts now. I think the fact that this season could go down to the wire in terms of relegation, in terms of the top.
Yeah.
If a team can't field the side, so for example, when we played you, we obviously got stuffed.
Yeah.
But then if imagine we just gone, right, we don't want to get beat 7-0 because we want to keep our goal difference. Yeah. Let's not bother. Yeah. Let's not field the seed. We're going to get beat. What's stopping us doing that and just getting a 3-point, no points?
Well, let's go the other way. The week before we were meant to play St George's, they played Ramsey.
Yeah.
Didn't turn up.
Yeah.
Ramsey get the 3 points. Okay. Now, at the end of the season, if Ramsey finish second
on
goal difference and they're 2 goals behind, we can all point to that game, maybe, and go, that's the reason Ramsey didn't win the league.
Yeah. And where's the 3-0 gone? I know that's not, I don't think that's enough of a punishment, but where's that 3-0 gone? I think it should be a point deducted, maybe, or I was speaking to Colin Gilmer this week, he suggested something like 4 points for a win, 2 points for a draw, 2 points for a draw, and 1 for just turning up.
Yeah.
Because if teams don't turn up, that like what's the point?
Well, could just go to change the entire structure of
I like it. I like it. But no, but what I mean is you shouldn't get winning. You should get punishment. We should start winning. That helps.
You're going to go down to rugby union and get stuck in bonus points.
See, it sounds like I'm just clutching at straws because of Moran's position. But I actually do believe at the end of the season it could massively affect the whole league. Yeah. St George's could stay up by a goal difference. We could go down because we fielded a side every week.
Just out of interest, if Jordy's through every game now between here and the end of the season, could they stay up and you still get relegated?
Yeah, probably. No, after this week we're going to get 3 points at Russia, so...
Yeah, because Jordy's are currently on 6 points and Moran are on 3.
Yeah, well, this is another thing as well. Everyone's saying we're gone. Look where we are.
Jordy's
I'm not saying Jordy's will do that, man. I'm just not saying it's a point.
But if it can be done, it shouldn't be allowed to be done.
Exactly.
I mean, for example, last game of the season happens to be St George's at home to Moran.
Yeah.
Now, Moran are 3 points behind St George's and 1 goal behind.
Yeah.
Do you turn up?
No.
You're on the risk?
Why would they bother? Yeah. Why would they bother? Exactly, just so we can't pull the side.
It sounds like I'm St George's bashing. Yeah. They're not the only club that do it.
No.
But if things like that can happen, they shouldn't be allowed to happen.
Exactly. And this is why I'd love to do a podcast with the likes of, we'd love to get the likes of Kevin Maitland on and the new, what's the Lewis Qualtrough's new position? Interim CEO or something. Speak to them about that. And
But I think that what they will say, though, then that's a council issue. It's the clubs. So this passion that you bring to the podcast every week about this issue, you should be saying to your club rep and going...
Which I have.
Yeah.
And then it's his responsibility to the meetings. Yeah. And then...
When it's rained, like this weekend's meant to be, right? I understand when games are off.
Yeah.
Teams do protect pitches, but when it hasn't rained since Wednesday, right? And when the pitch hasn't been marked and the grass is, is this length, you've had a long run up at that.
But something for them to look at, anyway.
Absolutely.
We'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll listen to me.
Yeah. Right, Dave, we talk about the weather.
Yeah, John's almost been reading over my shoulder when he started. Yeah, it won't come as a surprise to anyone, but the weather's not looking good for the next few days. Rain today, Friday, will become persistent and often heavy, which may lead to localised surface water flooding and some possible river flooding as well. So,
another good river flood.
Yeah. It'll peter out in the evening, but there'll be strong near gale force winds. It's going to be slightly drier on Saturday, apparently, but there is still a risk of a few showers. That's going to be much compared to the question of whether the damage has already been done.
So what are you thinking, Dave? Like, are we getting the postponement barometer out?
Yeah, I think there'll be a few. We won't get a washout, but I think we'll get a few.
It's just the best bit of the podcast, isn't it? I know mates that don't even check the weather anymore. They just go on the podcast and skip right to the end, and they just go, right, that's my source of weather. Just because
I think Rebecca did such a good job last week, and you did a good job reading Comedy Corner, mate.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, it's on my CV already.
He took a new swing at it, though.
I did. He looked at the fixture.
Yeah, I did get it wrong, and it wasn't on purpose. But I do like it looking forward rather than behind. Who cares about the Comedy Games last week? Now we got through to all. Let's just
talk. Coming from round Comedy Captain.
Having said what I've just said, though, I can categorically state the Lexi's combination tea game down at Glen Road will be on. It's not being pulled off.
Yeah. Even if they're in Canadian, the game will be on.
We'll give them flippers and snowballs if they have to.
I'm actually going to answer that.
Right, lads, thanks so much for coming in, Johnny. Yeah, it's been great to have you in, the first guest of the season. Dust off the mic, as it were. Sam, thank you as always. Dave, thank you.
Yeah,
Tom, anything else you want to add? Anything more thinking you want to get off your chest?
I know it's Cam said he's disappointed he didn't come in. So, who says we can't invite Cam and me on? I think the viewers want to see you. You know what? I think I'd just me and them.
Should record it the night of your Melia.
Yeah. That'd be a good one. 4th of November, yeah. Crosby Pub, around Melia, if you can attend.
Would you like to have Melia?
No, we've got enough vegetables playing for us.
Yeah. Right, on that bombshell,
it's a top. Yeah. Da, 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 da.